Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps and the Pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Super Saturday, August 26th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and our good friends at Body Armor and our studios upstairs on the 19th hole clubhouse across from Tropicana Field, where the Tampa Bay Rays and New York Yankees, they'll meet with a 4-10 pitch. Game number two today, unfortunately, went down 6-2 last night and a tough one. Of course, baseball, Ben Botham alongside me. He's a Savannah State graduate and Seminole grad, and now he is the on the faculty as well as the head coach of the Keglers, the bowling squad. And you're right out of the blocks, 1-0 as a rookie program and a rookie coach.
Yeah, both the women's and men's teams both got a victory.
Boys and girls.
Boys and girls, I know. We keep saying, I'm so used to the college sports. I'm used
boys
to
boys and girls.
Boys and girls teams. The boys team, of course, swept Dunedin 7-0, and the girls team took Dunedin 5-7.
When did you figure out how to score in bowling?
It took me a little while. When I showed up about 10 minutes late to the bowling match after.
Nice work.
Yeah, all my students were looking for me. Where's Coach Botham? Where's Coach Botham?
Where's Coach Kingpin? They're going to start calling you Coach Kingpin. Where's Coach Kingpin? You come in, you've got your classic bowling shirt on, your Marlboro's sticking out of your pocket there. Yeah, here comes Coach Kingpin. Well, congratulations. However, there is a disclaimer here. So you actually have a ringer on the Seminole Warhawk bowling team.
That is true. I will say he did not compete in the match this past week.
This is a disclaimer, this part.
Yes, but we do have probably the number one bowler in the state of Florida on our team. So I'm very excited to see how he does. I've yet to see him actually bowl.
Well, hold on a second. Joel Geiger's here, our great intern, a Boca Ciega graduate, and he is, of course, going to St. Pete. He's going to be our stat man. He'll make the decision on who's number one in the state, not just some self-proclamation from the coach, okay?
Yeah, I know.
So start studying the bowling rankings for me, please.
We got guys all bowling in the 200s. We're winning our we even got bowled a 200 in our Baker game.
Well, I'm very impressed. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun. We do each and every Saturday the next 2 hours. Got a very diverse show, as we typically do. It's college football week 0. In the last segment, we'll break that down with the Big O and the Axeman, of course, Alex Reba and Oscar Garner III. We got a special guest. He's going to be joining the family of TAN Talk, and that's Paul Porter. And Paul Porter, of course, has been the voice, the PA voice at Amalie Arena, for the Lightning from day one, as well as the Orlando Magic. And so we're going to talk to him. He's got some great stories. We'll talk to him about 11:40. We do each and every week, we are going to have our rowdy soccer conversation. We've got royalty in the house, a gentleman that I call Jim Hart the godfather of soccer in this area. It may be the state. But Perry McNally sitting across from me. We got to come up. You might be Michael Corleone. Because you got Godfather who and he was controlling everything, and Perry, you've got your finger on the pulse of everything that's happening. So we're looking forward to talking to you shortly. And of course, last night our Rays went down 6-2. They're 3 back now of the Orioles. It just seems like every time you get a glimpse of hope, you know, the Rockies were ahead 4-2 yesterday up at Camden Yards, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's bleak right now for us to gain a game, but we'll still be 2 back.
Yeah, I'm still very confident though with the Rays right now. All of a sudden, my attitude towards the Rays has definitely changed.
I wanted to get a Rusty Estrada on so we could get some positive mojo going, but I'm glad to see it's wore off on you.
It certainly has.
This is a team of fighters, man.
It certainly has. They're up for the challenge, and that's what I wasn't sure the Rays actually had, especially with some of the dugout kind of problems that they were experiencing.
Look what's happened to their staff.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy what they're able to do. We lose Wander Franco. We lose, who was it? We lose Shane McClanahan. We lose all.
You're talking about your ace and your number one player, Wander Franco.
I know. And we lose Margot as well. Some great guys on our lineup there, in our bullpen, in our starting rotation. And somehow the Rays are still able to do it. And the most impressive thing that I think, and a lot of people might discount the sweep of the Rockies because, you know, they're one of the worst teams. But you have to look, we came back from massive deficits in all these games, whether it was in the 10th inning where we get out of it or just late games where we
come back the beginning of the season. And when we won the 9 out of 12, and of course last night, unfortunately, we'll take the next two, you Yankee fans, just prepare for that. Anyway, it reminded me of the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. We have the bats coming to life, and we have it
confidence.
We have it coming with guys that are coming up from AAA, guys most people have no clue who they are. So it's very impressive to see that the Rays have this culture of next man up, who's going to get the job done, and it's really exciting to see. Even though we are three games back, and you know me, I've been very pessimistic.
Negative Nelly.
Very pessimistic about it all. So this is a huge change for me, being able to see them do that in that three-game sweep of the Rockies. I'm very optimistic for the remainder of the season.
You know, I was in Colorado on family business last week, and I'm at Denver down by Coors Field, and then I had a conversation with my son and his nucleus there. They've got season tickets, and I talked to a couple of corporate guys, and I said, I love that field. Have you ever been to Coors Field?
I have not, no.
It's a must-go. You can see the Rockies in center field. It's a spectacular, and you know, it's backed by the Coors Corporation, their home, of course, right there in Golden, Colorado, but the Montfort Company owns it, and they're in the beef industry. And if you think people didn't like Sternberg for a while, I'm telling right now, they cannot stand Montfort out there. They want him run because they have success. You know, you look at the Avalanche, you look at the Nuggets. We'll see what happens to the Broncos. They still have an incredible fan base. But it reminds me of the old Cowboys days. I'm Cowboys. The Cubs days, when they were horrible, they still filled Wrigley Field. Coors Field is being filled because it's a great venue and you got a lot of vacationers, but it's sad to see they're hapless.
Well, do they at least have good hamburgers there, Mike?
Everything at Coors Field except for baseball.
What, beer's coming out of the water fountains?
I'm telling you.
Fresh Coors Light pumping right out.
There's a lot of things coming in the air out there, too. I walked around and, like, every time I took a whiff, I'm like, geez, it smells like weed around here. And my son goes, Pops, it's legal here. I tell you that every time you arrive, but it's an aroma.
Let's just say that. They got the Green Mile out there.
Yes, they do. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody listening on WTAN 106.1 FM, and that is our flagship, AM 1340, Clearwater, St. Pete in Tampa, WZHR FM 104.3 FM and AM 1350. And, of course, our new launch this past spring is FloridaSportsStream.com. We're adding more and more content. We're hoping to get Paul Porter to participate on that, and we've got some breaking news from a high school perspective. Brad Richardson will be in. It was week number one in high school football across the state. Some great games, some exciting, some upsets, and Brad Richardson will break that down for us.
Our bogey guy's going to be a little upset about the game last night, Seminole versus Bogey.
Well, I hate to say, but both of those programs are restarting, can I say that, with Augie Sanchez and the new coach of Boca Ciega. But the game that I watched, and he's a very good friend of ours, Sean Davis, he's the head coach of the Northeast Vikings, and they took care of the perennial power in Pinellas County, Lakewood, and Coach Moore last night. And that's just a signature win for him as he rebuilds the Northeast High School Viking program. So a lot to talk about. That'll be in the second hour as well. So all this high school stuff will be in FloridaSportsStream.com, and then our own Joe Geiger and Gavin have put together a high school 2-minute sports update, and you're doing that on Mondays and Saturdays, and you can get all your high school information, scores today. So just go to our Facebook, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, for that information as well. I'm trying to look. Oh. We already had on the Tee Florida on Thursday, but the PGA Tour Championship in Atlanta, that's the last event of the year prior to the Ryder Cup at the end of September in Rome. But on top of that leaderboard, it's a 3-way tie right now, and we'll get caught up with that for you. Oh, of course, the Rowdies tonight, they play Miami. And then There's a little game over at Ray J, the last preseason game of the year, and that is the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Bucks. What'd you think about Baker Mayfield getting the nod over? I mean, it was just a matter of time.
You know that they were going to do it. They're spending this money on the guy. They're definitely going to start him over what was it, Kyle Trask?
Correct.
And
the Florida Gator.
You know, I'm still rooting for Trask. I think that there's opportunity for him later on this season to make an appearance.
We hope not. We hope Baker has a career year. We don't want Trask on the field.
I kind of have a soft spot for the guy. I like an underdog.
I don't like or dislike the cat. I just know that if Baker Mayfield is on his game like he was when he played for the Rams in that short little stint, he's the real deal. When you're the Heisman Trophy winner, you're the number one draft pick out of Oklahoma, I would certainly hope that one of those career years is right around the corner. And you know who's right around the corner? Is our good friend Jim Hart. He's on hold, and we'll bring him into the conversation. Larry McNally was sharing some great stories with us prior to going on the air, and we're going to have him recount that for our audience, because everybody in the world has heard of Messi. But Jim Hart, I missed you last week. It's great to have you on, man, and say hello to Perry, and let's talk a little soccer.
How's it going, Perry? How you doing, Mike?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Great. Really eager to hear about that game, Perry. I'm loving the fact that you guys are talking about it.
Yeah, Jim, I tell you, it was obviously a fantastic game, and you got here Cincinnati who's had some difficulty since they've come into the MLS, and this season they've turned it around and they've made it to the semifinals of the Open Cup. And it just turns out that in between the last time they played in the semifinal game, that Inter Miami goes out and signs, three of the formerly top players in the world, Busquets, Messi, and Jordi Alba. And those guys were turning around in the league's cup. And then obviously they came into Cincinnati. And, obviously the game started out, home fans, place was rocking, and they're up 2-0. And next thing you know, by the time the game's over, it's tied 2-2. And had to go overtime, and obviously eventually lost in PKs. But a fantastic atmosphere. And, it just shows what the game's becoming. We've talked so much in the past about the evolution of the game. But just to see where it's at now and the direction it's heading, it's got a bright future here.
That's so cool. I can just picture that atmosphere, Perry. And isn't it true, Perry, that St. Louis is capitalizing on a similar atmosphere up at City Park?
They sure are, Jim. And who would have thought? See, here's a team that comes in as an expansion team. And, a lot of people don't understand the way the structure of the league is, that it's just, just not like the rest of the world. It's a closed league. There's only certain ways that you bring teams into the league. So, in fact, when St. Louis started, they're only allowed, so many what they call designated players. Those are your top players. And you're allowed three of those. You don't have to have three, but St. Louis was spot on all three of those. Then they, through the expansion draft, which, you had 28 teams in the league that couldn't protect. They protected so many players. So you're getting the players that weren't protected. So basically you're saying these are players that I wouldn't say they're not wanted by other teams, but they're not protected. And then you got players that, you get in free agency, and there's a reason why they're in free agency. Next thing you know, those players are overachieving. St. Louis, being an expansion team, is at top of the Western Division and not looking back.
That's amazing. Yeah. Perry, what is the secret to St. Louis's success this year?
that's a good question, because again, you look at Bradley Cardell, the head coach, who has never been a head coach in MLS, and I think 10 years ago he was coaching college soccer in South Africa. But for me, I have to put a lot of credit to a local coach there, John Hackworth. John grew up in Dunedin, and John, for me, is one of the most accomplished coaches that we have. He's obviously he's been with the U.S. U-17s, U-20s in two or three cycles. He was a coach in Philadelphia there. And obviously he was a coach in the championship, which were the Rowdies playing with Louisville. But having this opportunity as the director of coaches and assistant coach with St. Louis, because of his knowledge, experience, and background, I think that he's been, one of the kind of the leaders in that franchise. And again, you can't say he's turned it around. They came out from the start, from the start, they were almost, leading the division, and they've never looked back. So again, I give credit to their whole coaching staff and the way they, they select players. Every team has injuries, and again, once you have injuries, there's only certain ways of bringing players into the league. So it's very difficult how to maneuver all that. And that's why unfortunately, you get some of these coaches from out of the country or just doesn't understand the structure, and they don't do so well. So I got to give a lot of credit to John Hackworth and Bradley Cordell, the head coach, of being able to start and be on the top, and hopefully they finish that way.
Hey, I'd like to find out how you two met, the godfather of soccer, as I said. I think he might have to be Michael Corleone because he's such a presence in the world of soccer here and as well as St. Louis and across the country. But how did you two gentlemen cross paths and now become very, very good friends?
It kind of goes back. There's a couple of connection points. One of them is that Perry grew up living across the street from my sister-in-law. So back in Florissant, Missouri, my sister-in-law, who married my brother, is still my sister-in-law, Sharon Kluba was her name at the time, they grew up as neighbors to Perry Vanderbeck. And on that in that neighborhood that happened to be loaded with soccer players, of course, I didn't know Sharon yet. Rob didn't know Sharon yet. And I didn't know Perry yet, but it kind of goes way back to then. Perry got drafted by the Rowdies in 1978, so I became a fan of his and followed his career as a fan for many years. And then Perry decided upon the end of his playing career to give back to the game. Well, he didn't wait till the end of his playing career to do that. He's been involved in U.S. soccer. Back in the day, Mike, we were all, like in the 1980s, we were all motivated by one common goal, and that is everybody was trying to sell the game and trying to dream of one day the U.S. might be able to win the World Cup. And kind of everything we were doing was kind of focused on that, whether it be from the local high school coach to right on up to somebody like Perry, who's playing at the top level in the country. And that kind of drew people together. And people that had that like-minded way of thinking kind of found each other, really, is the way I would say it. And Perry got involved in youth soccer. And as a result of that, we crossed paths. And, we've known each other ever since. We kind of knew where each other was coming from almost immediately.
Yeah, and Jim, let me just, there was another gentleman that I played actually high school soccer with, Brian Balabertic, who I think you had known, or your brother had known at. So, and again, when I was working with the Tampa Bay Mutiny, which, by the way, Mike, we did have an MLS team here in the mid to late 1990s called the Tampa Bay Mutiny.
Really? What happened there?
Well,
where did the Rowdies go then?
Well, the Rowdies, the league. Okay, so when I started for the Rowdies in 1970, the Rowdies started in 75. I came to the Rowdies in 75.
Was Mark Lindsay a teammate?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Mark, okay, so Mark started with the team in 75. By the time I got here in 78, he had already left. He'd gone to the California Surf and a couple other teams. But then Mark eventually came back here, and him and I played together in the indoor over here at the Bayfront Center. But the NASL folded in 1984. So then the viable league in this country was the MISL, was an indoor league. And that all went on up until to the mid-1900s. So when FIFA awarded the World Cup in 1994 to the United States.
1990s?
1994. They said, and we'll give you the World Cup. We'll award it to you. But afterwards, that surplus of money that you get from the World Cup, you have to start a professional outdoor league. And that's what they did. So then they started MLS. So they started out with 10 franchises, 10 clubs. And the Rowdies got one because of the history of the Rowdy. I mean, I'm sorry. Tampa got one because of the history of the Rowdies. And the team was league-owned. So there was 10 teams. Lamar Hunt owned 3. Robert Kraft owned 1. And
Lamar Hunt owned 3?
3, yeah. So it was just,
Kansas City Chiefs, founder of the AFL.
So he had Kansas City, Dallas, and Columbus. All right, Robert Kraft, another NFL guy. He had the New England, he's had the Patriots, he had New England Revolution. And a guy that was just introduced to soccer in 1994, okay, Phil Anschutz, he had the Colorado Rapids. So they had 10 teams to start with. And all 9 of them had investors except for the Tampa Bay Mutiny, is what we were called. We were league-owned. So when 9/11 came, 2 of us folded. It was us in Miami, right? So now that – it went from 10 teams to 12 and then back down to 10, all right? But, again, when I was working at the Tampa Bay Mutiny, I was working in the front office. And I forget, Jim contacted me and says, hey, Perry, he says, I need your help. I says, yeah, Jim, what can I do? He says, look, he says, I need to get some of those players out to my camp. He says, I've been asking the front office, and I know you guys got league games and you got your schedules and stuff, but come on, this is
vital. You guys are building the game.
We're building a game. Yeah. I've got a camp here. He's, you know, I says, Jim, I says, I'll do my best. I don't know what to tell you. Well, why don't you come? Yeah, Jim, I says, I'll come out and do your camp. And I tell you what, Mike, I never, ever forgot it. I went out there. It was a fantastic atmosphere. Jim always had a great numbers for camps. It's very well known in the area for all his high school players. It's kind of like it was a stepping stone. Those kids that were coming out of, you know, middle school, going into high school, that was the step. And he was asking me to do these bicycle kicks and stuff like that. I'll just never forget.
I bet the kids absolutely loved it.
I had a fantastic time. And again, you know, I think the kids liked it. I know Jim, you know, he put the stuff up on his website and stuff. But so, you know, we go that far back. And again, you know, you look at what Jim has done for the game. All right. And, you know, you call him the godfather, the Pope. You know, you can give him all those labels. It's very well deserving. Because again, after Jim's fantastic career, okay, because he's won state championships and things like that, you know, he could just go right off to the sunset. What is he doing? He's putting back into the game. And I don't want you gentlemen here on the radio to think that, you know what, Jim just picks up the phone and calls and it gets on the, he's on communicating with this whole concept of the Champions League every day. Every day he's in contact with somebody.
He eats it, sleeps it, and breathes it. I can assure you that.
That's his passion.
And that's why I love having him involved. You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here across from Tropicana Field, downtown St. Petersburg, each and every Saturday. It's our Body Armor Coca-Cola Rowdy's Conversation. We've got Kerry McNally in the house. And as always, Jim Hart is the one that is our producer of this segment, and I appreciate it each and every week. Life is choice and chance and the things that happen, because I don't know what kind of a franchise Orlando is, because I don't follow close enough, but that would have been superb. This seems like just a hotbed of soccer here in the Tampa Bay area, and to have an MLS team would and I, all those owners obviously are successful. Anschutz, you know, he had the Nuggets for a period of time, sold them off. All three owners that got those franchises have been successful. God rest his soul, Lamar Hunt. But so they saw the vision, and it's unfortunate maybe that, you know, the Glazers or someone didn't see that same vision and pull them into the community, right?
Well, Mike, they did. So what happened, you know, when we had the Tampa Bay Mutiny, MLS, so we were one of the inaugural franchises, right? But it was like, what, 3 or 4 years into it. Now the league, MLS, reached out to the Glazers and says, hey, how about, you know, obviously some ownership. So the player,
they obviously want soccer. They got Man U.
Correct. So the players are owned by the league. The league owns the players. Every player's paycheck comes from New York. To this day. All right. It's the structure of the league. It's a closed league. All right. So you don't own a team. You invest in the league and you operate a team. So when the league approached the Glazers,
is that like a European model, or is that just a unique model?
It's a unique model. It's not a European model, because the rest of the world says, like, okay, how does this work?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the owners have a lot more say-so than the rest of the world, but it's just, you know, where things are at, and again, it's working. We're at 29 franchises, all right? But what happened with the Glazers, they said that they were in, but again, then the league came back and says, okay, now we want you to, you know, get in more. And that's when they took a step back and bought Manchester United. So it wasn't like the Glazers weren't interested. It's just that there was an opportunity for them to buy Manchester United.
So you're telling me that Miami, they just picked up Messi.
Yep.
That the league owns that, but the league didn't make the decision to go after Messi. It's the investors?
No.
Explain that to me.
Okay, so what happens is every franchise, every team, and this is the David Beckham rule. So David Beckham came into the league in 2007, right? Because, again, in the era that I played, it was Pele. All right, so when Pele joined the league in 1974 in the North American Soccer League, the highest paid baseball player was Hank Aaron, making $250,000. All right, so in 1974, the New York Cosmos, that were owned by Warner Brothers, all right, and there's a documentary out, it's called Once in a Lifetime, The History of the Cosmos. They paid him one, two, three, they forget, nobody could really say how many millions they were paying him, but we own him. We own what he walks, you know, and what he eats and everything like that. So, but Pele really turned soccer around in this country. All right, so you're looking at the New York newspapers, you got the Jets, the Giants, the Knicks, all of a sudden it's the Cosmos. Well, let's fast forward this into 2007. They bring in David Beckham. David Beckham's earning $20 million a year over playing at Real Madrid or AC Milan. He gives that up to come over here to MLS, all right, and he's making, what, $6.5 million, all right? But
he's expanding his brand.
But what he's been able to do is he's get a piece of all the gate receipts and this and that, And he gets a franchise for $25 million. So he's walking around with a coupon. After he retires, he's walking around with a coupon for $25 million that he gets to have a franchise. It cannot be in New York or it can't be in California. So after he retires, 6 years after his retirement, he lands in Miami. All right, now he has that franchise. The franchise valuation right now is maybe at $600-700 million. All right, now he's not the only investor. There's two other, Jorge and his brother Miles. Where I'm going with this is that's what Messi's doing. So Messi, he's just turned down $1.6 billion in Saudi Arabia to come to the United States because it hasn't been announced, but I'm sure that there's some kind of ownership invested in that. So what these owners can do, and it's done, they're allowed three designated players. And those three designated players are paid over and above the salary cap. So each team has a salary cap. Let's just say it's, you know, somewhere between $5 and $6 million. But they can take three players, one being Messi, another being Busquets, another playing Jordi Alba. Between those three players, it totals like, say, $97 million. All right. Now, again, that's the highest in the league. But what probably the other investors, owners, have pitched in, because anywhere Messi goes, it's a circus. It's a 10-ring circus wherever he shows up.
Well, you just went to Cincinnati.
See him, right. So I pull up in the hotel, and it's just, you know, you can't get close to the hotel. The media, you know, the security and everything. But this is going to, and again, just for soccer in the United States going forward. Next year, Mike, is the Copa America. So that Central and South America would be playing a competition here. And the year after that, they've got the World Club Championship. And the year after that, they got the World Cup.
Okay, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Jim's doing his Saturday morning walk and talk, and he's out there by the road, and it's the first time he did that. I questioned him. I thought maybe he was hitchhiking to the soccer field or something. But he's at it again, as you can hear. What road do you dangerously walk by while you're talking?
I just went down to check the mail while Barry was talking. That's when a car went by.
I caught you again.
Yeah.
I caught you again.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the way that the league is structured. And again, it's just it's not like that, Mike, in the rest of the world. Okay. In the rest of the world, you buy and sell players, and MLS does that too. But there's just certain rules that they have that they implemented, and it's just the way it is.
Ben, we knew nothing about soccer, but now we know the financial structure. I mean, I'm kind of shocked. I had no clue that this is how the world of American soccer was managed at the professional level. Very impressive.
That's just for that league.
So, yeah.
So
yeah.
The league that the Rowdy's playing in, no, it's like the rest of the world. You know, you get, and they all have salary caps, except for the lesser league don't. Okay, see, like Manchester City.
They don't have to worry about salary cap at this level.
Well, again, you know, the owners can spend what they want. But at the end of the day, you know, like in Chelsea and Manchester City, you know, players get injured, they just start buying more players and just bring them in. Right. But now you got players that are leaving Europe and going to Saudi Arabia. Because now the Saudi Arabian league, like they said,
it's like the LIV in golf.
Right.
Exactly. And we could talk another hour about my opinion on that, and but we're not going to. So do you got, with Jim Hart on the other end, you guys got any collaborative projects, with the exception of all the energy you're putting into this Champions League and one day across America for the high school side of it? And we're going to be at the forefront. We're going to have the draft here. We're going to have media day down here for the high school kids. And I just loved that when I first met you briefly. You had the Rowdies out here. We had the coaches involved. We had Jim and the people behind Champions. So that's a snapshot of, and my moniker for 25 years on my show has been from the peewees to the preps to the pros, something positive, positive participation. Well, that day was an exact model of that. You had the pros, you had the preps, and of course we know that the kids playing, the peewees, and you guys have your finger on the pulse, and soccer is alive and well and doing superbly in Tampa Bay, and now you're going to take that model and expand it.
Yes, we are. And again, Mike, thanks for obviously hosting that out there. It was fantastic. And again, all the exposure that this concept that Jim has is enormous to grow the game. And again, it's an evolution. So obviously, you know, when I started playing youth soccer, it was one of those, you know, the landscape's changed. So now that, you know, Jim has added this piece for the high school league, and it's exactly what it's needed, because not all these players get these opportunities. Some of it's financial, and some it's just, you know, where they live and just don't get an opportunity to play in these club teams. That those are the ones that seems, you know, that, you know, that's changed too. But these kids that go to high school, to add another element to it, being the Champions League, it's
especially down here, because high school soccer here, and I'm an outsider looking in that's been involved in high school sports for decades. It's kind of not fair. Is the best the layman's opinion can be that you're during the holiday season. It breaks up. It's short. People aren't really focused on high school sports during that period because football is just winding down and basketball is just getting going. Baseball is just around the corner. It's kind of a shame if they only had the high school element. So bravo to you, gentlemen, for giving this additional option to the kids out there. Jim, you got any parting words here for Mr. McNally? I could do an entire show with this cat. He's interesting. We didn't even get to the Messi story of how Messi plays with these guys. It's as I said, I've watched the clips of him scoring. It's like a man against boys. And he's got stories like that. So we might have to start a podcast just on soccer on our FloridaSportsStream.com. There's another project for you, Jim.
Let's do it. Let's definitely do it. And I know Perry would be a part of it. Perry is, you can just hear the way he speaks. What a class guy he is. And that story, Mike, that he told about him coming out to the camp that day, Perry sat in 90-degree plus weather, signing every autograph, taking pictures, signing shirts. I mean, he couldn't have been more gracious. And that's 30 years ago. To this day, he's still talking the way he is and helping the way he is. His name recognition brings a lot of validity to the Champions League concept, and we're super grateful.
Well, I'm grateful for both of you coming down. I look forward to having you down more often, Perry, and have you down at the end of the show so we can sit down, have a bite and a beverage and visit and get more acquainted. So if there's anything I can do with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection to help you, we're on board, and Jim will tell you that. I'm open to anything that can help the kids, and now our partnership with the Rowdies, who have been superb. The future is bright for soccer, and we're going to make sure it stays in the mainstream media as well. So, gentlemen, you have a great weekend. I'm sorry we had to delay this till the 26th. Had some family things to take care of, but the good things are you have to wait sometimes, and this was one of those. I appreciate it. Let's take a break here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We'll be back, and we're going to talk to I guess you could call him royalty, Paul Porter, PA announcer of the Tampa Bay Lightning from the inception and the Orlando Magic. And with the Orlando Magic, who do you think he was calling out? Shaquille O'Neal. And a lot of people, that would be a great trivia question. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Champa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sports and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA Sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront root pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And Ben Botham, what a nice conversation. At least we got some education. And it never hurts, as Perry McNally broke down the ownership structure of MSL in the United States, which was very, very interesting. I never fathomed ownership like that. You don't own the team. You're investing in the league. You can call the shots. You know, and Messi, I mean, you can't be blind to what he's been doing.
No, yeah.
I know you're not a soccer guy.
I know, but
you know who we're talking about.
I do see the clips. I know the individual that exists, yes, who's named Messi. But it is very interesting to see. And one of the things I didn't realize is players getting traded and moved between team to team. It's worse than basketball, Mike. I used to always watch basketball, and I wonder how people could follow it when you have LeBron bringing guys here, bringing guys there, switching teams every couple of years. I couldn't stand it. I can't imagine what it's like to be a soccer fan.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, I tell you what, if you're a Lightning fan, you're an Orlando Magic fan, you know this gentleman. He is the royalty in the world of announcers, PA announcers, and he is Paul Porter. Kind enough to take some time to join us. He's right in the middle of a Facebook broadcast, and he's taking time to join us here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and he's joining the Tan Talk family of broadcasts as well. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Well, Lightning goal scored by number 91, Steven Amkos. Just in case people didn't know who I was.
Well, of course they know who you are. I started spreading your name around, and especially the Lightning fan. And a friend of mine, Billy McGee, he was one of the original general managers of the Lightning. He said, "Of course." I know Paul. Tell him hello. Billy's on my show quite often, but he said to tell you hello. And then my son, who's in his 30s now, diehard Orlando Magic fan, and I took him to a game. Oh, I don't know what year it was. Late 90s, early 2000. Whenever a penny was there, and I told him that I was having you on. You exhilarate the crowd. You have been doing it for both organizations since their inception, and that's impressive. Let's talk about your longevity and how much fun it's been. And obviously, you don't tire of it, Paul.
Well, that's true, Mike. 35 years with the Magic, and 30 years now with the Lightning. And been the only PA announcer for both teams, and have been there since day one, and really enjoy it. It's fun. I call myself a paid season ticket holder because I get to go to every game free, and I actually get paid for it. So it's a good situation. But I really enjoy the interaction with the fans, to try and get the fans excited. And I always tell the story. There was one night that the people were so excited about the game and so anxious for it to get going that I made an announcement with the car that a car had its lights on and people cheered. And, you know, these people just were so wired that they just wanted to cheer about something. They were waiting for me to say something. So they do that. But it's fun because this is where people come to release, relax for a little bit, have some fun. It's neat, and you've been to a lot of Lightning games, Mike. You know that there are people there that are lawyers, that are doctors, brain surgeons, professors, and when they get in that hockey arena, boy, they let their hair down, and it's a wild time, and then they go back to work the next day and do brain surgery. But they love to scream at the players and scream at the referees, and it's just a release time, which I think is healthy.
which is the beauty of sport. You know, and I want to ask the question, well, I'm going to, that I ask anybody that's a legendary broadcaster. Is there, and let's take both organizations, is there one particular game that resonates in your mind for the Lightning as well as the Magic, and that for you personally that you felt this was it, that was my A game, and it was very instrumental in the crowd getting exhilarated. Do you have any moments like that that you'd like to share?
Well, I think as far as the Lightning is concerned, it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals back in 2004 when they won the Stanley Cup for the first time. Calgary had a 3-2 lead and was going to wrap it up in Calgary. Marty St. Louis and Brad Richards managed to score for the Lightning and send it back to Tampa for Game 7. And then Ruslan Fedotenko had 2 goals in the first 2 periods, and the Lightning were up 2-0 after 2. And the third period clock couldn't have gone any slower. And I was just looking at it and looking at it. And every time that Calgary would shoot, They did score 1 goal, and then it was just really painstaking. And when Calgary got that first goal, I just said, oh, no, they can't tie it up. They can't tie it up. And it went all the way down to the final minute, and Dave Andrechuk, the captain of the team, gets a penalty. And Calgary goes on the power play for the final minute, plus they pull their goaltender, so they had a 6-on-4 advantage. And Dave Andrechuk was in the penalty box, which at the time I used to sit right down on the ice prior to COVID. And he looked over at me and he says, I can't look. And I says, I can't either, Dave. And we both just sat there, and it was probably the longest 60 seconds of our life. But finally, Nikolai Habibulin made that final stop, and the place exploded, and Tampa Bay had their first ever Stanley Cup. So that's the game Lightning side that stands out for me. I've been able to announce 2 NBA finals in 1995 and then again in 2014. But in the 1995 finals, Game 1, the Magic were playing the Houston Rockets, and they were a prohibitive favorite. The Magic were to win. They had finished first in their division, and Houston was the 4 seed out of the West. And Nick Anderson was at the free throw line, and the Magic had jumped out to a 20-point lead in Game 1, and that lead started to dwindle away, and it got down to like a 1-point lead. And Nick Anderson's at the free throw line, and his first free throw goes right off the back of the rim. And I said, Nick, would you please make a free throw, not realizing my mic was on. And it went to the whole arena. Nick, would you please make a free throw? And Nick Anderson turns and looks at me, and we laugh about this to this day because Nick still works for the Magic. And he looks at me and he just shakes his head and he goes back for his second shot and he misses that too. And the whole crowd just kind of groaned, you know. So that was the game that really stands out in my mind.
Well, understandably so. That's a classic. That could have been an ESPN classic as well.
Oh, yeah. Our America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Paul Porter, of course, the legendary announcer for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Orlando Magic. You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're at 410 across the street. It'll be the Yankees against the Rays in game number 2 of their vaunted, of course, Eastern Division. I guess it's getting to the point of being in quite a competition between these two organizations. So when you take a look at your career, starting in Cleveland, it's kind of a unique dynamic that you're in basketball and hockey because those are competing sports in the same time of year. How did that evolve?
Well, I knew Pat Williams when he was with the Philadelphia 76ers, and I was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I developed a friendship with him. And he told me that after I had left the Cavaliers and came to Florida, he said that he was going to get a team in Orlando, an NBA team. And he asked me to apply for both the radio job and the public address job. And the radio job went to David Steele, the longtime voice of the Florida Gators And, of course, he's been there with the Magic since day one as well. But I did get the public address job, and I was glad to have that. And I started out doing the Magic public address games. And then the Tampa Bay Lightning heard me doing the Magic, and they said, "Do you know how to do hockey?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, I do. I work for the Cleveland Barons up in Cleveland and learned how to do hockey there, so I can do hockey." So they brought me in and tried me out, and they liked what they heard, and they hired me. And then the Buccaneers heard me doing the Lightning, and they said, "Would you consider doing our press box PA announcing?" And I said, "Absolutely, I would." This was 6 years ago, and been with the Buccaneers ever since. So working for three different teams, doing about 110 to 120 games a year, depending on playoffs. So it's a pretty full plate, Mike.
Well, I want to ask you this. When are you going to write your memoirs? When you wind it down, or why it's work in progress? Because you're going to have about a 300-page book to put out, and it would be a great read for any sports fan or any of these aspiring young kids that I try to encourage that, you know, may not be able to. I think you. I read something in your bio. You know, you've never thrown. You've never shot a free throw at in the NBA or taking a shot or throwing a pass, but you feel like you have with all that energy over the years. And I tell these kids all the time, hey, there's all kinds of opportunities in the communications and operations side of sports. And a lot of people would be interested to get your path, your vision. And you're a young man. You're right where in my wheelhouse, and we're still kicking butt and taking names, right?
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. And they always say age is just a number. And you know, if I had been doing roofing or landscaping or pouring concrete, I would have retired many years ago. But the job is so much fun to do, and as long as my voice holds out and the fans seem to like me doing the games, I'll just keep on going. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, let's go back to the start. So are you from Cleveland originally?
Yes, sir. Born and raised in Cleveland. I grew up there and went to school there at Cleveland State University. Got my degree from Cleveland State and ended up with the Cavaliers. I was announcing at a small Christian station and doing softball on the radio. And the gentleman by the name of Ted Stepien that bought the Cleveland Cavaliers actually was not crazy about the longtime legend Joe Tate, and he let me replace Joe Tate. And I got to do their play-by-play for 2 years, from 1981 to 83, and then moved to Florida in 1985 and worked with the Tampa Bay Thrillers of the Continental League. And from there went to the Magic, and from the Magic to the Lightning, and from the Lightning to the Bucks, and from the Bucks to WTAN.
Well, my right hand man, Ben Botham. Say hello to Ben. He's an aspiring radio guy, but he made a wise choice. He's a teacher and he's a coach at Seminole, but his family's from the Cleveland area, and I always feel sorry for you guys when I think of the change that your Cleveland, I call them Gindians, went through. The rich tradition. Bob, I'm from Iowa, and Bob Feller and I were close. I did a lot of things with Bob, and I know Ben that your family felt the same way.
Oh yeah, a lot of the family up there, up in Bedford, are still reeling about the name change.
The Bedford Bearcats.
There you go. He's got
How about
it.
This that,
is great.
Huh?
Hey, us old guys still have gray matter. Ben's about 24 years old. You know, we have to prove to him time and time again, Paul, that our gray matter still works. And yours is better.
My two cousins both went to Bedford High School, so that's how I knew the Bedford Bearcats, the green and white of the Bedford Bearcats. You know, I never go to Cleveland in the wintertime. I've learned that since I've been down here. My son still lives in Cleveland, and my mother and father-in-law both live in Cleveland. So I usually go up during the summertime when I get a break from the hockey and basketball, and before football starts, go up and visit then. And it's the perfect time to go to Cleveland in July because the weather is very conducive to visiting, and you don't have to worry about snow or slipping and sliding on the ice.
Well, that's two of us, Des Moines, Iowa. That's where my grandkids hole up. Okay, let's go back to your Cleveland Cavaliers. Was Lenny Wilkins the coach during that time frame, or was that after him?
No, it was after him. Bill Musselman was actually the coach.
Okay, yeah, they were Minnesota Gopher.
And, right, and Don Delaney was there for a short time. But actually, Bill Musselman is the reason that I came to Florida, because when he was let go by the Cavaliers, he got the job originally in Sarasota with the Sarasota Stingers, and he asked me to come down and do the radio for Sarasota. So that's when it caused me to move to Florida. I did that for a year and then moved to Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Thrillers and did their games for 3 years before I ended up catching on with the Magic.
Hey, I got a question on the business side of things. Now, who hires you? Does the arena hire you with the Lightning, or the organizations, or the facility?
The organizations. I am employed by both the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Orlando Magic and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I do some recordings for the facilities, but I'm an employee of the team.
Well, as they do with the Super Bowl, do you get a ring as the announcer like the players when they won the Stanley Cup?
I have 3 Stanley Cup rings. Unfortunately, I didn't get a Buccaneers ring. I only did 10 games for them that year, but I did get 3 Stanley Cup rings in 2004, 2020, and 2021.
Well, bravo. Tell Dekaroff you want to wear his ring once in a while when he's walking around. He's another one of my favorites. I see him a lot at the Sporting Club of Tampa events. I love Gene Dekaroff as well.
Yeah, he is back with the Bucks this year. He has retired, as you know, from Florida State, but he is still doing the Bucks. I think he's 72, 73 years old, but he's still going strong as well.
He's got the pipes. All right, my friend.
They call him Mean Gene, the talking machine.
Well, aren't we all? That's what we do. Hey, this has been an enjoyable conversation. Get back to your other broadcast. You're a talented man. And I'll give you a shout later today, and we'll get together early next week. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right, T. How about that? The voice of the Bucks, the Lightning. And then you throw in a little Orlando Magic. If we had an NBA team, Paul Porter probably would be here, and he would be Tampa Bay.
He certainly would. That's pretty impressive. So many rings for so many sports. That's pretty amazing.
And you guys, pretty cool that he knew about.
My mom's hometown. He knows all
is
about
your mom
Bedford.
A Bedford Brave?
She was Bobcats, I believe. Yeah, the Bobcats in Bedford Heights, Lyndhurst, all those areas. He knew all about them. So that was pretty cool getting the. Making the world a little smaller.
Right now he's up there in Clearwater alongside Matt. Of course, the controls, the home of our flagship 106.1 FM, AM 1340. When we come back, second hour, lots of high school to talk about. Brad Richardson's in the house last night, all the games across the area. Of course, Joe Geiger just left. You can go to our Facebook, and we've got the scores in Pinellas County listed on Facebook on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And then we're going to break down college football. Ben and I'll talk some more Rays. Alex Rebo will be in the house, and we can talk analytics. And yeah, plenty to talk about this time of year. It's that time of year, fellas, where everything is rocking and rolling. And it's fun to be in the world of sports, especially down here at Ferg's. 4:10, first pitch, as I said, across the street at Trop Yankees. Come on down. We've got our golf simulators rocking and rolling up here in the 19th hole. We'll be back, hour number 2, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.